You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The police finally found the lifeless body of the 31-year-old park employee. He was murdered and his body was left to rot in an abandoned field. For 5 years, the killer cleverly evaded the best efforts of the pursuing police. All this time, this man's conscience tortured him with guilt. His days were occupied with drifting from city to city, and his nights were filled with anxiety and sleeplessness. Finally, when he could stand it no longer, this guilty man surrendered to authorities. And then he explained that his guilt had been eating away at him every hour of every day. As the man gave himself up to the authorities, he confessed, "Everybody makes mistakes, and I have chosen to pay for mine." When this man turned himself over to the law officers, he realized that he automatically became a candidate for public execution. Reports of murder, such as the one just described, almost always produce expressions of anger in the local community. A quick call for vengeance frequently follows, and few people would deny that in order for a civil government to function, murderers, thieves, and other criminals need to be brought to justice. At the same time, however, before anyone gets a puffed-up head of self-righteousness, let us first ask ourselves the pointed question. How does our own life look to God, especially when it is compared to His holiness and His perfect righteousness? Take a moment today, would you, and be honest with yourself. Have you ever disagreed with someone so intensely that you found yourself despising their very presence? Have others crossed you up or lied to you, resulting in your personal hatred for them? Now, do you also recall the Word of God, which says that everyone who hates his brother is a murderer? As a result of our sin, by God's standard, every one of us deserves the penalty of eternal death, and we deserve to pay for our transgressions against our holy God. But thanks be to our gracious Heavenly Father. In our text for today, based on the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, God has revealed to us that we can rejoice in relief. Yes, we can confidently say that in spite of our sins and failures, there is hope. There is total pardon for you and me from the curse of our own sin, because God has granted unto all men, regardless of race, creed, or rank, the repentance that leads to life. Every day, scores of motorists are stopped for speeding. Their hearts are immediately filled with regret, but often their regret does not result from the recognition of their sin of breaking the law. They feel badly because they regret that they got caught. Evidence of this insincere repentance is reflected in motorists who, after their arrest is finished and the ticket is issued, then they proceed to blame and to curse the law officer who was simply doing his duty. Others, as soon as the officer's vehicle is out of view, proceed once again to break the law by speeding. This type of insincere repentance is not confined to the highways. Delinquent parents, irresponsible husbands, and unfaithful wives also often grieve over their mistakes. Their grief, however, does not reflect God-pleasing repentance. It is not the repentance that leads to healing and salvation, for when their error is no longer obvious, these husbands and wives and family members often permit themselves to slip back into their old sinful habits. Godly repentance, my friends, the repentance that leads to life, is an attitude God expects of a guilty sinner. One who is truly sorry for his sins, but that is not all. It also involves one who is enabled by God to turn away from his sin and turn instead toward the forgiving, healing, and strengthening arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. God-pleasing repentance always involves sincere faith and the trust in the sin-cleansing and salvation power of Jesus. This God-pleasing attitude of faith in the Savior's mercy then also produces cleansing from the curse of our sin. Sincere, godly repentance establishes a new life in Jesus Christ. Guilt is replaced by relief and joy instead of remorse and death. This sterling promise of God is one of the greatest gospel promises offered in the entire Bible. Therefore, my friends, today, may God grant you eyes of faith to see His divine holiness and to compare this purity of God with the ugliness of your sinful actions. And may God also enable you to reach out by faith for full forgiveness and lasting relief by saying with the psalmist, I cried out to thee, O Lord, thou art my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Give heed to my cry, for I am brought low. O God, let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, O Lord, would keep a record of all sin, who is there in the whole world who could stand? Indeed, God desires that you and I be lifted up from the muck of our mistakes and the mire of our daily failures. This good news of the gospel is what provided the impetus for the psalmist who then rejoiced in his hope in the Lord when he said, O Lord, there is forgiveness with thee. Worn out cars, piled up in junkyards, rusted and wrecked, are beyond redemption. I don't believe that anybody would argue with that. And on occasion, barns and houses on abandoned farms begin to look the same. We see them regularly along the highway. Windows are boarded up. The foundation is crumbling. There is no paint. A screen door swings in the wind. Many shingles are missing from the roof. And rain has filtered in and is destroying the interior. And the chimney is half fallen down. Here again is an image of no hope of redemption. There is no way that anybody could ever purchase one of these devastated buildings and restore it. Our lives may sometimes feel the same, and perhaps you today can identify with these woes in the world. Money mismanagement has brought misery to many families. Does this sound like your situation? Refusal in years gone by to study in school has produced a life with very few options in the tight job market. Does this sound like you? Abuse of alcohol, overeating, and little exercise has brought discouragement and unexpected health problems. A failure to show kindness and the refusal to exercise patience has produced a situation where some of your best friends do not care to see you anymore. Now, my friends, this is not a very kind picture to paint, is it? But if you can identify with any of these situations, then you may also feel like the rusted-out car or the run-down house. Somebody with little or no hope, somebody beyond redemption. At least this is what you think. But if this is the way you feel, then you are totally wrong. In God's eyes of grace, no man, no woman, or no child, no matter how deep in hopelessness and despair they may seem, these individuals are never beyond God's long-reaching arms of divine rescue. No man is ever beyond redemption. And so then, my friend, lift up your head in joy and hope. Your days of darkness and discouragement are over. Your redemption, your salvation is drawing near. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ and His saving power has come to you and your heart today. Waste not 1 hour more moping about your disappointing lot in life, for by His love and grace, God has redeemed you so that you can spend eternity in paradise with Him. God is asking you to rejoice and to celebrate. He is asking you to be part of true repentance that leads to life. And this joy of redemption need not be delayed. Live your life of redemption and hope today. Begin tomorrow as if your past mistakes had never taken place. And every day, let the refreshing and healing spirit of daily repentance pervade your every activity. And each time a new mistake occurs in your life, instead of looking at your weaknesses in despair, fasten your eyes of faith ever more firmly upon the solid and saving foundation of the salvation cross of Christ. And so, what are the true building blocks of this Christ-centered foundation for life? The Apostle Peter explains it beautifully when he writes, And he himself, Jesus himself, bore our sins in his body on the cross. Yes, Jesus took our sins upon himself, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds, for by the blood of the cross of Calvary, St. Peter points out, we are healed from our sins and mistakes. In our generation, we can never raise this message of the banner of Christ's forgiveness high enough. We can never proclaim it often enough and clear enough. It is this full pardon that God is now offering to families caught in the endless struggle of harsh words. This total pardon is now offered by God to husbands and wives scarred by cutting remarks. And this complete forgiveness is now offered by our blessed Savior to brothers and sisters who struggle endlessly in their fights and their arguments over wills and estate settlements. And so if you today are unaware of the struggles that many families are going through, then it might be well for you to examine the front page of the Wall Street Journal. This prestigious publication has covered the subject of the family many, many times in the last several years. In a stunning and sad lead article entitled Breaking the Bond, the author points out that today's courts are now overflowing with endless divorce litigation. According to the Wall Street Journal article, except for traffic courts, divorce court has now become America's most common introduction to the judicial system. Experienced attorneys now agree that the divorce situation has now become even more complicated than the dissolution of a major corporation. In the last 10 years, the divorce court load has doubled. And as incredible as it may seem, more than half of all civil suits are now divorce cases. And according to one expert, divorce court has become an absolute snake pit. Uncontrolled anger and violence boils to the top of heated exchanges between stubborn husbands and irate wives. And what is the cause of this dramatic rise in domestic discord and violence? The contributing factors are many, of course. But the primary villain, which has destroyed more homes and wrecked more marriages, is the devil-inspired trend in recent years to encourage each family member to do their own thing. Nothing causes more stress in a home or puts more strain on a marriage than when family members go their own way with little or no concern for husband or wife, father or mother, brother or sister. The family is an institution conceived in the heart of God, and the family is composed of an extremely fragile fabric. Its design and ability to function properly is based on close, intimate, and supporting relationships between husbands and wives and also among the children. For a father or a mother or any of the children to go off and do their own thing and to seek their own selfish ends, this would be very much like a single boxcar in a large train suddenly deciding to leave the middle of the fast-moving train and go run on its own track. The consequence for the entire train is obvious: destruction. And so also for the family, when individual members go their own way on their own track and do their own thing, again, tragedy, heartache, and tears almost always follow. And so let us always remember that it is God who is the author of the blissful marriage. And it is only when members of these households live in the fear and the love of our gracious and forgiving God that family-destroying selfish actions will be replaced by healing words of forgiveness and bonding deeds of Christ-centered love and the repentance that leads to life. And who is the author and the guilty perpetrator of all family disorder and home destruction? The devil, that's who. The Apostle John reminds us of this when he says, "The whole world lies in the power of the evil one." And so from the statistics just cited, one shudders at the massive numbers of families now caught in the icy grip of divorce court litigation. Equally frightening is the realization of the countless additional families who are right now also in trouble, even though they have not yet reached the courts. If you are part of such a damaged family, or if you are a loving and concerned relative or neighbor, you may be deeply troubled in asking the disturbing question, is there any hope? Is there any help for families where the destructive action of the devil now rules and reigns uncontrolled? The answer is an unqualified yes, there is. Let no one ever believe that the devil has less power than husbands or wives. The devil is indeed powerful. He is clever and he is very cunning, and his works are many. However, the Apostle John writes by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he brings hope to our hearts and our families when he says, "The Son of God appeared," that is, Jesus Christ appeared, "so that he might destroy the works of the devil." And so, my friend, the answer is simple. The Lord Jesus Christ is the answer and the only answer for a happy home and a harmonious marriage. If harmony, forgiveness, and happiness is to rule a home, then the devil, the father of lies, discord, and destruction, must be driven out. Sincere repentance and a rejection of all our old sinful habits must take place. Then full faith in Jesus Christ follows. This, then, is the repentance that leads to life. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." The Bible also describes the devil as the prince of darkness. And even a child understands that when a light comes into a darkened room, the darkness has to flee. It has absolutely no choice. Are you a newly married couple? If so, then firmly establish the foundation of your home upon the devil-defeating light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or perhaps you are a besieged marriage partner with several years of matrimony behind you. If this is the case, then begin today to re-establish or to rebuild your troubled home and rocky marriage upon God's solid foundation of grace and forgiveness. In the same way, if Jesus Christ, the light of the world, is to be the primary influence of healing and hope in your home, then Jesus and His devil-defeating word must be constantly present. And so today, parents and husbands and wives, the choice is yours. Either try to survive in a dwelling haunted by the power of darkness and controlled by the evil one, or live with the courage and hope in a home filled with the forgiveness and the mercy of God, a home gently flooded by the light of His healing and saving word. But all this does not happen by itself. Just as we make special arrangements to set aside time each day for sports, for scouts, and other school and business activities, so we also must make arrangements to bring God's light of His eternal word into our home. And this happens when we have regular family devotions. The Word of God, as it is read from the Bible, is the light of life. This Word enriches, it cleanses, it strengthens, and it gives hope to our families and our marriages. This Word of God destroys the works and plans of the evil one. God's Word breaks down all barriers and discord. God's Word brings to our ears the sweet message of both forgiveness and total pardon. Yes, the Word of God makes us wise unto salvation by telling us what Jesus Christ has done to rescue us from the curse of our sins and our mistakes. And so as we see our Savior more clearly, we shall be led to believe and to exclaim, "You, Lord, You have the help for our troubled families and marriages. Yes, You, Lord, You alone have the words of eternal life." And so, my friends, I pray, yes, I beg of you, make this day and this week a new beginning for your home and your family. As you look back over the trouble, the discord, and the shambles of the past, don't be discouraged. Lift up your heads. Let the Word and the Spirit of God move you unto true repentance that leads to life. And then with happiness and anticipation, go to church every week where God's healing word is proclaimed. And then return again to your home with the sweet and healing message of God's forgiveness and help. This is what God wants for you. He is a God of forgiveness and grace and hope and love. This is what God wants for you and your entire family. Oh Lord, we pray today, grant these blessings to all those who are listening. Amen.